The name of the message tonight is Faith as a Seed. We really need to understand what the Word of God is actually saying and what it means to us. The story goes, there's a little boy in a Sunday school class, and they were teaching about Sodom and Gomorrah. Why, I don't know, for little kids. But they were talking about, the angel said to Lot, take your wife and flee. They had to get out of that place. You know, it was going to be destroyed. So they got, and they were told not to look back. And they got about halfway up to the mountains, and Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. The little boy raised his hand and said, what happened to the flea? So evidently he didn't get exactly what they were saying. But we really need to know what the Word of God is saying to us and how it applies to us, because faith stops at the question mark. I thought you would like that, Bill. I was thinking of you. Faith stops at the question mark. But also, faith begins where the will of God is known. So if we know what the will of God is, we have more confidence in what we're saying, what we're praying. And when you have confidence in what you're doing, that's faith. You get an answer. You know, you got to pray with faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more word that we hear, the more word we know, the more we know the will of God. Let's look at Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6. I'll read this one because I want to stop at certain spots. We're starting in verse 6 and go to 13, but we'll break it up in a couple pieces there. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6, going through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We see here that God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours, but he gave us 66 books, help us come up to his ways and thoughts. The more we know his word, the more we confess it, the more we start speaking like God, and the more it grows in our heart. Verses 10 and 11, for as the rain cometh down, and the rain, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we continue to water the word of God in our hearts with more word. This is watering it or giving it rain. The rain forces the earth to produce. It gives life to the seed. You progress from not just speaking like God, you start thinking more like God, the more word you have in you. Then things really start to change, as we see in verse 12 and 13. We shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It brings life to every area of your life. It'll rain on our desert when we get a revelation of the word and begin to put it into effect. And we put it into effect by saying, the seed is the word of God. God gives life. God gives seed to the sower. The word will produce because the seed has dominion over the soil. You know, the seed has dominion over the soil. You can't plant a kernel of corn and the ground say, yeah, I know you planted corn, but I'm giving you carrots. It don't work that way. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant carrots, you get carrots. The seed has dominion over the soil. And the soil produces what the seed calls for. Luke 17:6 says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. So you sow it by saying it. When you know what the word of God is on the situation, you pray it. You pray the answer in the word. That's one of the best ways to pray. Like, say you're getting attacked with symptoms on your body. You go into prayer. You find the answer in the word that pertains to your situation. And so you go to the Lord, you say, Lord, these symptoms attack my body, but now you said in your word, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You said healing is a children's bread. Lord, you said Jesus took my infirmity and bare my sicknesses, so I don't have to have them. So I agree with you in your word, and I'm healed. Then you speak to the mountain, you devil, you get that fallen infirmity out of here in Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Speak to the mountain. You speak to the answer. Speak the answer to the mountain. Let's do take a look at Luke 17:6. I just said the first part. I like it real well. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. It's not the end of the verse, it's just the start, but I like that because if you have faith, you speak. I just like that. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You know, I got a lot of this information from Charles Capps. He's just been such an inspiration to my life on the confession of faith and words of our mouth. So, a lot of this was from Charles Capps, maybe some from Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Keith Moore. But Charles was also talking about this sycamine tree or mulberry tree is also represents unforgiveness. They said they'd take that tree and make caskets out of it. So, in order to get rid of unforgiveness, we talked about that when we were talking about the bait of Satan, you know. If you make a firm decision in your will, as an act of your will, Lord, I forgive so-and-so for what they did. And when you make a firm decision in your will, it's an act of your will. It, somehow the will is a doorway to the Spirit. It hooks up God to put His supernatural on your natural to accomplish it. You know, it's really a wonderful thing. And so you keep that confession of faith. Bless God. Lord, from this moment forward, sir, they are forgiven in Jesus. And then you pray for them. God likes it when you pray for those who have done you wrong. Then I think where a lot of people lose it, they have thoughts come later on. That dirty dog. Remember what that dirty dog did to you? Remember that? That's not necessarily you in unforgiveness. That's the devil trying to get you back in the cage of unforgiveness. So you say, no. I bind that thought, cast it down, and take it captive in Jesus' name. I forgive him. Me and God got a thing going. They're forgiven. Then you pray for them again. That's got to really tick the devil off. And you pray for them again, you know. But if that's not enough, if you think you need a little bit more, Charles was talking about, every day and every night you stand before your mirror saying, I forgive. Look yourself in the face and say, I forgive. There's something about you hearing yourself speak that gives you more faith than anybody else. I think it's because God designed us to believe what we say. We believe us more than anybody else. But you stand in front of that mirror every morning, every night. I forgive in Jesus' name. And then you do it until faith comes. And the Bible says he shall have what he says. What he says, you say it till it changes your mental track. I think it also builds faith and gives you the faith to overcome. But that's just another way. If you need any help in forgiving, that's another little tool for you there. And Eddie Murphy... That fit right in, man, because, I mean, forgiveness, we're going to be talking a little bit more about unforgiveness here, because it can stop your faith, it can stop your prayers, because it puts a person in a trap, because they're really in sin, right? If you're in unforgiveness, you're really in sin, whether you want to admit it or not, you know. And, gosh, that fit in. Bill, thanks for saying that. But this is using biblical principles, calling things for what you don't have, calling them into existence, you know. Let's look at Romans 4:17. I always like a lot of scriptures. It's just something about making sure we know what the Word of God says and that I'm backing what I say. I like that. Anybody want to say what Romans 4:17 says? I'd like to read it. Well, I'll do it. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quicketh the dead and called those things be not as though they were. So we see God quickens the dead and calls things be not as though they were. And he taught Abraham to call things be not as though they were. We're the seed of Abraham. We're to call things be not as though they were. As it said in Mark 11:23, he shall have whatsoever he says. Let's take a look at Mark 11:23-25. People would joke about this. Kenneth Hagin preached on this so much that joke around, say the verses that Kenneth Hagin wrote, but he didn't write them. But boy, he sure preached on them enough. He preached on it for years, and somebody asked Kenneth Hagin one day, they said, when are you going to preach on something else? He said, when you get this. I thought that was pretty good. This is Mark 11:22-25. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Here again, this is Jesus teaching us the principles of faith, how faith works. And at the end, he talks about if you have any unforgiveness, get rid of it. In other words, man, unforgiveness can hinder prayers, can hinder a lot, man. We got to keep that stuff out, treat it like the plague. But it's so neat that this is Jesus. Like it's like a pattern for faith. He says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so you call things be now as other, where you're speaking to your mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So then you don't doubt in your heart, you shall and but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass. So you got to believe what you say come to pass, then you shall have whatsoever you say. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. So this is now the element of faith. I think a lot of people miss it, but it says, when you pray, you believe, you take the answer then. The first time you pray, you take that answer like you got it. Because it said, when you pray, believe, receive, you have them. And then you don't have to pray, ask for it anymore. You thank God for it after that. Continue to stand thanksgiving, which is also faith, thanking God ahead of time for what you don't yet have in the natural. And you shall have them. And then again, in 25, and when you stand praying, forgive, you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So we operate in faith, knowing that the heart is the soil, the word is the seed, and we plant it by saying it. The more we say it, faith is growing up in our heart, becoming the answer. The more you say it, the more you hear it. The more you hear it, the more you believe it, the stronger your faith becomes. Now, it may not happen right away. You know, sometimes it takes a while for things to work. But Charles Capps talked about one time, and I may have told you the story again, but I like it, I'll tell you again. But he talked about he liked to go deer hunting, and he'd go to his deer stand. There'd be poison ivy all over the stand, you know, and the ladder. So he'd strip off the poison ivy leaves, you know, go hunting, and he'd get poison ivy. So he got tired of that, so he started confessing, thank God I don't get poison ivy. Now I know the exact words that he used, but let's use those words, because he started coming against poison ivy. Anyway. So thank God I don't get poison ivy. And he just kept confessing, thank God I don't get poison ivy. So he went deer hunting the next year, stripped the poison ivy leaves off with his hands, went deer hunting, and next year he got poison ivy too, but not as bad. He kept up his confession of faith, thank God I don't get poison ivy. Thank God I don't get poison ivy. Next year he went out, stripped off the leaves of poison ivy off his deer blind, went hunting again, got poison ivy again, but not as bad. I think that was the last year he had poison ivy. From then on, he never got poison ivy again. He kept his confession of faith the same. He didn't change it. He kept it the same. And stripped the poison ivy with his bare hands, he never got poison ivy again. That's pretty awesome. You know, the Bible talks about having faith as a grain of mustard seed. I may have mentioned this to you before. It's a small seed, but it'll grow small. Even though it's small, it'll grow up, become great. Did you really? Really? Yeah. Wow. It grew up. It's a small seed, it grows up, become. But the other aspect about mustard seed, a lot of people don't know, and the University of Arkansas will back this up, is that you can't hybrid mustard seed. It's always mustard. So, not only is it a small seed that'll grow up big, but it's a seed that don't change. So if your faith don't change, you keep your confession the same. No matter what the circumstances, because we don't go by circumstances, we don't go by feelings or emotions, we go by faith, we go by the Word of God. Keep your confession the same, and it'll work. Faith that doesn't change. So we continue to deposit more and more of the Word of God in our hearts, and we grow stronger. Then when the mountains try to invade our lives again, we take the Word of God from a believing heart, put it in our mouths, and speak the promise of the Word of God that pertains to the mountain until it's removed. There again, like if you're having trouble with your finances or something, and it seems like the devil's stealing your money or something, go to the Lord in prayer. You know, say, Lord, now this lack's trying to get into my life, but it can't stay in Jesus' name, because you said bringing all the tithes of store that there be me. Meet mine house, and I'm a tither, Lord. You said you don't, but the winds of heaven pour out a blessing, shall not be room to receive it. You rebuke the var for my sake. He'll not destroy the fruit of my ground, neither shall my vine cast the fruit before the time. In the field, saith the Lord of hosts, all nations call us blessed. We should be delighted in the land, saith the Lord of hosts. So, Lord, I am a tither. The devil is not. See, I agree with you in your word that he is bound in Jesus' name. Now, devil, I bind you off my finance. You get out, you stay out in Jesus' name. So you speak to your mountain. You speak to your mountain. If you really want to take the devil off, sow another financial seed. I mean, because a lot of people don't realize you can give your way out of poverty. It's just a wonderful thing. Evidently, some of you guys know this. Where was I at? But so, you know, so you speak to your mountain until it's removed, but some people do it backwards. You know, they keep saying, even they even pray, oh God, the problem's getting bigger. Lord, did you see the problem? It's just getting bigger and bigger, Lord. If that happens, then the problem's going to be this much bigger. How far do you think you're going to get talking the problem with God? You're going to go somewhere, but it's the wrong way. You know, you got to speak the answer if your knees are knocking. You know what I mean? If the mountain's that big and that terrible, you look in the face, knees knocking, and just speak the word in the name of Jesus. And God likes that, man. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So even when you think your words aren't working, they are, good or bad. You can have what you say. As we continue to grow, we use these faith principles to fulfill God's purpose in our lives, you know, and we pray for others, you know. We use these faith principles. We walk in them. You plant a seed for what you need, words or financially. The life of the seed is in itself. It reproduces after its own kind. There again, if you plant corn, you're going to get corn. You plant rice, you're going to get rice. You continue to meditate on the word until you see the answers. It's good. Now, you've got a lot of you probably already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. But it's just good sometimes to take a one scripture, just one. Kind of sit back in your chair and read it for a while. By whose stripes you were healed. Look at it. Get in your eyes, out of your mouth, and your ears, back in your heart. The more of your senses you have involved, the more you're taking in the words you want. You got your eyes. You can do it by memory, but an eye is another gate for the word to get in. So, you know, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes, you can just go over, by whose stripes you were healed. Then you close your eyes, by whose stripes. Jesus took that stripe right there at the whip post for this firmly right here that's trying to attack me. By his stripes you were healed. Were healed, it's a done deal. It's already been done. By whose stripes ye were healed. It was done 2,000 years ago. The more you meditate, the bigger it builds. The more faith you build. When you get to where you build that thing until you're fully persuaded, that's when you speak that word out, because that's when she's going to work. That's when the power is behind, because you plant that in your heart. It grows up and becomes the answer. When you're fully persuaded, speak that baby out. Continue to call things to be not as though they were until they are. Staying strong in your confession of faith keeps you strong too, because you're speaking the word out of your mouth, the living word. Negative words hinder faith. Like if you get your little confession of faith going and you're doing a little bit, and then you stop doing that and you start talking about the problem again. Oh, man. I'm praying this about the prayer of faith, but man, I tell you, this problem is big, man. I tell you. You're cutting off the very stuff you were just praying. You're cutting it off. Like I say, if your knees are knocking, keep your confession of faith going. This thing works. A lot of you know it does. Let's go to Mark 4, 3 through 20. It's a couple pages the other way. Hark and behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. I want to make sure I didn't miss something. Hark and behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on a stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. and said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Isn't that neat? If you can understand this parable, you can understand the rest. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now the first group, these are they, in verse 15, which are sown by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in the heart. Well, it said over here in the other verse, it was like from the wayside. From what I understand, anybody that you probably know, Stephen, that wayside there is real hard and packed away, like the tractor goes across or the horses and all that. It was just laying on top, man, easy for the devil to steal. You know, the devil doesn't want you to have the word in your heart at all, because the word produces faith. Faith overcomes him. He don't want you having that stuff. But one thing is, they just have heard. They didn't spend any time with it. It was still on the surface. It never got in. The second group, these are on 16 and 70, these are they which likewise are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard, another have heard, the word immediately received it with gladness, and having no root in themselves, so endure but for a time, after when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they offended. Why did the persecution come? For the word's sake. The devil don't want you having a word, man. Get that word out. And so they had no root. It didn't spend long enough time to get in there and get down in a good root structure. So a little offense got them out right away. The third one, verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, lust of things, entering in, took the word, become unfruitful. Well, you know, if it can't enter in, it can't choke. But I got to think, and that's good, because we should be able to resist any kind of those thoughts. But these are already there. And I was just thinking about that, and it made me think maybe they weren't doing 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it says, cast down imagination, every higher thing, exalt self against the knowledge of God, bringing captivity every thought to be Jesus Christ. These things grew out and should have been there. We should be nipping these things out of our head right away, so they don't get into our heart. So they're not growing down there. So if we can do our battle and keep those thoughts out so that stuff don't get down in our heart, we're not going to have the weeds down here and the briars and the thorns and stuff. And therefore, we'll be able to resist it. If a thought does come, we'll cast it down right away. We're not going to give in to it. Then we'll be like those in verse 20. And these are those which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. Remember, the word in your mouth and in your heart keeps you strong. You continue to confess the answer in the face of the problem. There again, I mean, even if your knees are knocking, you speak the answer of the word right in the devil's face. And you know, when you do, you feel stronger, because you know you're speaking the living word of God, man. This thing is real. Calling things that are not as though they were. A carnal mind can tell you, well, you know, you're just lying. Telling you're healed, you're still, look, your nose is running, man. What are you doing talking about you're healed? Well, you're not denying the problems there. You're denying the right to be in you. You're calling for what you don't have. God, and so that happened to Charles Capps. His mind started bothering a little bit, like, yeah, you're just lying, saying you're healed. And the Lord spoke up and said, how can you be lying if you're saying what I'm telling you to say? Calling things that are not as though they were. As you keep confessing the answer of the word over and over, then you have it abundantly in your heart. Your faith is growing, and you are speaking with more faith. And that's when you're fully persuaded, like we talked about. And you'll know when you're kind of, nothing in hell can stop that word in your heart. You know this thing is real, and it's going to come, produce fruit. As you get your mouth in motion, angels go to work for you. Words of spirit. I like this. Now, this stuff didn't resonate with me, but I like it. I'm just repeating it. But you speak the word of God, it gets to the future before you do and prepares a way for you. I like that. It sets up for you what you need when you get there. Same thing with negative words. You speak negative words, they're going to mess you up in the future. And I might have told you this before again, but I'll tell you again. God told Charles Capps, a lot of people think that the shield of faith is like a little Roman shield that they had. The Lord said the shield of faith is an aura that radiates from the word of God that abides within you. It's like a canopy all around you. And the more word you have in you, the stronger you are in the word, the bigger and stronger the aura is around you. And you can get so strong that you can walk right around the curses that roll off you like water off a duck's back. And you walk around the blessings, they'll stick to you. There's an aura radiating out from us, good or bad, so we need to be filled with the word. I just love that. Confession brings possession. He shall have whatsoever he says. The law, this is the law of faith, is the law of change. You say it until it changes. I like that. Say it the way you want it. Call things that be not as though they were until they come. Abram, you're going to like this. Abram had the promise that he was going to have a child and be the father of many nations. 24 years, no child. God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations or father of multitude. We'll say father of many nations for simplicity here. That's how it's worded in the King James. So anytime somebody said, oh, Abraham, they were calling things to be now as well. Oh, father of many nations. Every time somebody said, what's your name? Abraham, father of many nations. Every time they said that name, they're calling for things to be now as well. Within the year the child was born. And we'll look that up in case you want to see what verses those are. Genesis 12:1-4. I thought this was exciting. Genesis 12:1-4. The Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. There it is, there's a promise. I'll make thee a great nation. And I'll bless them, I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So he's 75 years old. Let's go to Genesis 17:1-5. And Abraham was 99 years old. 90 years old and 9, it says it. So he's 9, that's 24 years. No child. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. It's like it's a done deal, dude. And then you go to Genesis 21:1-6. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which Abraham had spoken to him, which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born of him, whom Sarah bare to him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, that God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, said, all who are here will laugh with me. So there's 24 years, no child, within the next year's born. So really, within 3 months of confessing, calling things to be not as though they were, she became pregnant. Within 3 months, 24 years, no, started speaking, calling things to be not as though they were. Within 3 months, she was pregnant. Within the year the child was born. That's cool. This thing's alive. The word works. There's power in the word of God. God's DNA is in his word. It's alive. You know, lack may exist, but we deny right to exist in our life. Infirmity may exist. We deny its right to exist in our life. We call for what we want. We operate in the principles of God, calling in what we desire. God told Charles Capps one day, again, I told my people they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have. And, you know, you don't want to talk the problem. I mean, we've probably all done it, slipped into it, you know. Sometimes you get a little rough and you talk a little bit. But do the best you can to keep that stuff out of your mouth and speak the answer, man. Because what you talk about, you're going to continue to have. If you keep talking the problem, you're going to have the problem. Start talking the answer, you're going to have the answer. I would like to speak from my heart now about this word so we don't underestimate the value here. Let's look at John 1, 1 through 4 first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. Here in our Bible, here's Jesus in written form. When we speak the Word out of our mouth, we have Jesus in verbal form coming out of our mouth. When we speak, we have supernatural power and life coming out of our mouth with our God-given authority. That is awesome. When reading or studying our Bible out loud, from our mouth to our heart, there's a supernatural impartation. This is supernatural. It's not just words. This is a supernatural impartation, faith in the heart. Faith as a seed. The seed is incorruptible. The Word of God is incorruptible. It's indestructible. We know all things are possible with the Word. A long time ago, God spoke all things into existence, and they're still held together by the power of the Word of His power. You talk about power. And just think about prophets. 1,000 or 2 years before Jesus was born, one of them spoke that a virgin was going to have a child. And I think another one spoke, it's going to be in a certain town and place. And these words, through all these hundreds of thousands of years, these words and the faith are working in the invisible realm, getting ahead of time to the time when it happens. Read about the right exact time, hundreds of thousands of years later, just like God had spoken. That's awesome. All things are possible. Words of light always overcome words of darkness. Words are the foundation of everything you see. Words are the original technology. I like that one. Always be a person of your word, because honor and integrity are a big part of the foundation of faith. Faith is believing what God says, and it's also believing that what you say according to the will of God will come to pass. As the Bible says in Matthew 8:13, as you believe, so it be done for you. The Word of God functions with surgical precision, like it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even by the center of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thought, intents of the heart. John 6:63, my words are spirit and their life. Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend my words, incline thine ear, my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart, for their life and those that find them and health of all the flesh. All three of these talk about the Word being alive. In the quantum area, or arena, I guess you say, this quark is the smallest particle known to man. That's a sound wave. I believe it's a sound wave that created it. Words are supernatural sound waves. Put your hand on your chest, real close on your chest, and say out loud, by His stripes I'm healed. Do you feel that vibration? That's the living Word of God vibrating the life of God into you as you read and speak your Bible out loud. Isn't that cool? It happened to me one day I thought it was by accident. I think God did it on purpose. I was started confessing. I felt that vibration. Wow, that's cool. When you speak God's word, you set spiritual laws in motion. How much more powerful when they're with faith-filled words. Speaking the living word of God out of your mouth in your Bible study brings life. I believe you can be healed on the begats. It's all alive. It's all alive. There's nothing in this world's order that cannot be turned around by your mouth and faith. Even time is subject to faith. As you see in miracles, as you see in healing, time is done away with. as Matthew 12:34b says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's continue to fill our hearts with the Word of God so that we can, so that what, when we speak, faith comes out of our mouth, the Word of God comes out of our mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So let's make a confession of faith. Let's send some words ahead of us into the invisible realm, setting up our future, and also establishing the natural and the spiritual realm, who we are and what we are. You don't have to do this if you don't want to, but if you want to speak some words of faith, repeat after me. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. I'm a child of the living God. I'm becoming more like Jesus every day. I'm overflowing with His love daily, flowing in love, joy, and peace, patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness, and self-control. I live by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I hear His voice. I obey His voice. The blessing of God is on my life. So I walk in divine health and prosperity. All my children are obedient, taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. I have the mind of Christ. My relationships are blessed and improving daily. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. The gifts of the Spirit operate in my life as the Lord requires. The favor of God is on my life everywhere I go in all I do. I ask God for the cloak of humility so that I can live this life for Him, doing His will daily in my life. I think I messed up. You don't have to say that. In His plan for my life, with Him pouring out of me daily in His love to reach out and touch and change others for His plans and purposes, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And now I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places, ruling and reigning with Him, with power and authority over the enemy and all his works, praying effectively in the Spirit according to the will of God. I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I serve Him with joy and gladness in a life of praise and worship to Him. By His grace, fulfilling all He created me for, to Him be all the glory, honor, and praise. Kind of a long one, but you know, those are good words. That's all I got for you. Does anybody have something to add? Something you want to say or a question or anything like that? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's another confirmation of what we're saying. Yeah, you gotta call things to be not as though they were until they are. I just think that's so neat that it happens. You just stay in faith. I think it was just the biggest thing on my heart was just communicate. I think maybe we all already know, but this isn't just a book and a study we've got to do. This is life, you know. Have you ever noticed there's a lot of preachers around like Kenneth Copeland? He's 80 years old. He's like Steve. He don't have gray hair. Man, people that are in the Word, they look younger. Now, Billy Joe Daugherty did die young. I think God spared him. He almost died when he was young. He lived 40 years later, one generation, and he died. But him and his wife look so young. They preach all the time. They just always look so young. But the Word brings life. It's just awesome. You know, Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, I was just going to say something. No, I just lost it. Maybe I'll get it back. I know. Well, the devil has done his homework to put words in our vocabulary to trip us up, man. You got to watch that stuff. Like when people say, I swear, don't do that, man. If you swear, and some people say it flippantly, and they say something silly, you're committing yourself to that word. If you don't do it, then you're in trouble. One scripture said, why should I destroy the work of my hands or something, you know? Something like that, you know. But, man, not fulfilling a vow or something like that. But, well, I mean, that's pretty dangerous stuff. So, God bless you. Thank you for being such a good audience, too. You're imparting words. Words are life. They're alive. You know, that made me think before, too. Like, God says His words are spirit and they're life. What are our words? Regular words, I mean, if we speak regular words that aren't the Word of God, man, I mean, because we're held accountable for everyone. This is pretty important, you know, so praise the Lord. Well, Lord, let your blessing be upon these people, that this word bear fruit in their hearts. God, bless them for being such a receptive folks to make me feel good while I'm doing this. Lord, we just speak the blessing of the Lord on everybody here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Safe travel home, in Jesus' name, amen.